This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
قال من يحيي العظام وهي رميم قل يحييها الذي أنشأها أول مرة وهو بكل خلق عليم الذي جعل
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How's everybody doing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in this holy hour. Whenever we say be a benefit to us and acceptable and loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may our sins be forgiven during this period of Jumu'ah. Just to begin, I apologize for my nose. It's reminding me it's spring. There's a bit of allergies. Please bear with me, inshallah. Last week, alhamdulillah, we began a new series entitled The Days of Izzah. Izzah meaning honor and glory. The days in our history that Islam has stood, or this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Islam has stood from the beginning of time. The religion of Islam is the universal religion that the animals, that the birds, that all the anbiya, the angels, everyone follows, is the religion of Islam. Islam, the religion of submission to Allah, the submission to the Creator. That is the religion of the sun and the moon. But this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stood for nearly 1,500 years. And in that period, it had great moments of izzah and glory, moments where we can be proud of. We said we are currently going through a severe decline and things are so bad that as Muslims, we have forgotten our great heritage. We have forgotten to be proud of Islam, forgotten that this is our legacy. This is where we belong. We don't belong here at the bottom. So inshallah, part of returning to that izzah, part of trying to get back to where we were, is to inshallah discuss how we got there in the first place, to remember those days, not just for memory, not just to sing the praises of our ancestors, but so that inshallah we can follow the footsteps of our ancestors. We said many, many bright moments in our history. And inshallah, we cannot discuss all of them, but we'll select moments. And the first moment we chose was in fact the establishment of the first Islamic state. This is particularly important in modern times. Currently what's happening in the news, ISIS, Islamic State of Iraq, or the Islamic State and the Khalifa, many questions being posed. Is this an Islamic state? Must we go and make hijrah to that Islamic state? Is what they're doing correct, incorrect? Allah knows best. Insha'Allah, this is where we compare. We compare the original Islamic state, the first state that was established under Islam, the first state. And any state that claims to be an Islamic state needs to compare itself to the establishment of the state Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam formed. If it does not agree to what the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam established, you should not call it an Islamic state. If it agrees, then it's an Islamic state. So these are the criteria in which a state must follow to fall under that category of an Islamic state. So now we go back in time and we see the first Darul Islam, the first home of Islam, the first place of Islam. We mentioned last week how the state was formed. We said Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in summary, spent 13 years in Mecca calling his people, his family, his close members to Islam. Only a few of them responded. The majority of Mecca rejected and they were oppressing the Muslims. The Muslims couldn't make salah in public. They couldn't, like we find in many, many Muslim minorities in the world, they go through this. They can't wear their Islamic clothing. They can't say even La ilaha illallah loud. They were chased from their homes. And now, alhamdulillah, Allah had opened up in a city 500 kilometers away, a city called Yathrib, and we know today to be Medina. Islam reached that city even before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to them with da'wah. Allah opened that city without the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even knowing. The people there, a few of them, six of them heard about Islam, they embraced Islam. They went back to their families and they spoke to their families. And a year later, more than that, embraced Islam. This was and their community was, as I mentioned last week, what is amazing about Medina, that they were a community on the verge of destruction. They were a country in civil war. They were a country killing one another, two tribes fighting and killing one another. And a group from amongst them realized, we can't continue like this. And there in Mecca, there's a man who is a prophet. And he and he has all the qualities of prophethood, we should accept him as our prophet. And within time, within a year or two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the hearts of the people of Medina, that the majority of them became Muslim. And they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the time is right, leave the city that you're in. You love Makkah, the Kaaba is here, but remember, you can come to us where you can practice your religion freely. And not just you, all of the believers, all those who oppressed Bilal and all of them oppressed there in Makkah, come to us in Medina. So the great journey of the Hijrah began. And we said that this event was so great and it's so amazing in the history of Islam. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, this is now 20, 50 years later, when he needs to decide, look, we need a calendar, an Islamic calendar. We don't want to follow the calendar of which was written by, you know, that celebrates other religions. We want our own Islamic calendar. So they said, what date will our calendar begin? Where will we begin? Do we follow the Christians, for example, and begin with the birth of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Do we follow with the coming of revelation? Which date should we begin, Ya Umar? And they decided, the Sahaba, the date we will begin is when the new Islamic state was formed, after the Hijrah. That's why we call it the Hijri calendar, because at this point in time, it was a turning point in our history. For the first time in our history, we had an Islamic state. We had a place where Muslims can call home, a place where Islam was in charge. Now let us see what happens when Muslims are in charge and what Muslims should do when we are in charge. So today, as we have said in the news, a certain group has taken control of an area and they claim that they are practicing correct Islam. Or no, we leave the matter up to Allah, but we say whatever the facts may be, this is the blueprint. This is what you should follow. This is how the Islamic state should look like. If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was here, this is what he did. And this is exactly what he did. So once he established the state, beautiful, alhamdulillah, very nice, but huge problems face every society. So South Africa, we have our social problems. Different countries have their problems. To determine what kind of system and how good you are as a leader, how do you fix those problems? You want to be in charge? Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you're in charge now. What are you going to do? Let us look at the problems. There were major social problems facing Medina now. You had a huge population of refugees coming in. So imagine, for example, you're living here in this area of Bukab, and about 1,000 families come here, no homes, no jobs, no shelter, poverty. How do you fix this problem? How do we solve it? Do we leave them on the streets? They are now here. The reality is here, and we know this is again applicable to today. Many refugees coming from different countries into South Africa. How do we deal with these refugees? So this is one of the problems facing the new state. Number two, the majority of the people of Medina, they embraced Islam. But of course, Islam and Jahil, they just recently became Muslims, which means still a lot of Islam needs to be embedded in their heart. Not like the people of Makkah, 13 years of training, 13 years of oppression, the Islam is strong. So how does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam fix these problems? And as we know, not only do you have your social problems amongst yourselves, but you also have threats. Amongst you, you have internal threats, and outside you have external threats. How did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam deal with this? How would he, in modern terms, say, what was his foreign policy dealing with his enemies? So in Medina, we mentioned last week, there were three Jewish tribes. So in Medina now, you had a whole melting pot of different kind of people. You had different Arabs coming from Makkah, from Medina, from all over. Muhajirin, very poor, no position, no wealth, no homes. The Ansar, new Muslims. Then you had Arabs who didn't want to accept Islam and they openly said, we are kuffar, we don't accept your Islam. How do we deal with these people? Then you had those who said, we are Muslim, but every opportunity they did, they tried to destroy Islam, the munafiqs. Nabi Sallam knew who they are. How do we deal with these kind of people? Then you had, as I said, you had Jews within Medina. Again, very, very applicable today. We have this group that has taken an area. They find in this area Christians. What do they do with the Christians? They find within this area Muslims who don't practice the Islam that they are happy with. What do we do with this minority group of Muslims? You have within it a group like the Yazidis, not Muslims, not Christians, a religion even before Islam, very strange religion, but they are there. They have been there before Islam and they are still there. How do we deal with these people? How did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam deal with the minorities in his society? What did he do? In addition to the internal threats, he of course had external threats. The people of Makkah, the powerhouse of Arabia, not happy that there's a new state forming. So this is the America, the Israel of that time. How did Nabi Sallam deal with those enemies external to Medina? How did he ensure the survival of the state? It's so nice to say we have a state. But once we have the new state, now the hard work begins. And this also for us in South Africa, we can appreciate this. We were all fighting for a free and democratic country. But 1994 comes, now the hard work begins. How do we fix all the problems of decades of oppression, decades of injustice? How do we fix it? Overnight, what do we do? Do we take the land and give it to someone else? All these questions now, we see how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam transformed the society step by step. So what were the steps taken by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Some of the strategic steps that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took to establish this Islamic state. One of the most brilliant strokes that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of course with the guidance of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to fix the social problems, to fix the problem of the Muslims, the refugees, of the Muhajirin having nothing. He created what is called the Mu'akha, the brotherhood between the Ansar and the Muhajirin. We'll talk about this. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how did you deal, Ya Rasulullah, with the Jews in Medina? How do you deal with the minorities in Medina? He set up a constitution. We'll discuss this point number two, a Medina constitution. Some say the oldest constitution in the world that we still have today of how we're going to govern the city. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed his character as a leader, and he implemented and he taught that leadership to all the individuals, changed it from a grassroots level. The change comes from the bottom up, not from the top down. That's how Islam operates. Each and every one of us change individually, then the big picture changes on its own. So let us talk, insha'Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this when Allah says about this new state. For the poor muhajirin who were expelled from their homes and their properties, their wealth, they were thrown out and they left what they loved, seeking the bounty from Allah, and they seek Allah's approval and they supported Allah and His Rasul. Allah subhanahu says about the muhajirin, they are the truthful ones. And we remember that the category of believer after the Anbiya, the next category is the Siddiq, the truthful. Allah says these are the truthful people. This is the next best people after the Anbiya is the Muhajirin. Look what they did. And then Allah goes further in the next ayah of Surah Hashar. And as for those who were settled in Medina and accepted Islam before them, they love those Muhajirin who came to them and find not any hatred or any dislike in their hearts for what the Muhajirin were given. And they showed preference over the Muhajirin, even when them themselves were in khasasa, they were in hardship. They and their families were hungry, and they would still give to the Muhajirin. They preferred the Muhajirin above themselves. And whoever is protected from the stinginess of his soul, whoever is protected from the stinginess of his soul, for it is those who will be successful in the dunya and in the akhirah. You will see the barakah come to you in the dunya and in the akhirah. So the first thing the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did to fix the social problems, and this is how we fix poverty. This is how in today's day and age, where we have haves and have-nots, we live in a society, probably one of the most unequal societies in the world. You go to one part of Cape Town, you have unimaginable poverty. You just go around down the road to the coast and you find it looks like Jannah on earth. How do we fix this problem? Medina had a similar problem. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, inshallah, within 1 year or 2 years, this problem would be fixed. How? By creating this concept, this principle of mu'akha, meaning brotherhood. Not a normal general brotherhood that we have, but a specific brotherhood. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would select a family from the Muhajirin and select a family from the Ansar, those who had a little bit more, and said, this is now your brother, like your biological brother. And you need to look after him and his family, and he will look after you and your family. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for example, joined between Salman al-Farisi and Abu Darda. They became like brothers. They would visit each other in the houses. They would ask, how's your wife doing? How's your family doing? They became like actual brothers. Don't you worry about the majority of the Muhajirin. You just worry about your brother. So a few of a family was adopted by another family of the Ansar, the people of Medina. And this principle becomes abolished later on. Within 2-3 years, when the system changes, this would become abolished. No need for this anymore. And so great was this brotherhood that even when one family member would die, the Muhajirin would inherit like a biological brother. He was part of the inheritance. So it's not just the specific brotherhood. What remains of that brotherhood is the general brotherhood. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً, that the mu'minun, the believers, are but one single brotherhood. This still remains. This level of brotherhood still remains. Not as intense as the Muhajirin and Ansar, but this brotherhood remains. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said on that great speech on Arafah, when he said to the believers, all mankind is from Adam and Hawa. An Arab has no superiority over a non-Arab. And a non-Arab is not better than an Arab. And a white person isn't better than a black person. And a black person is not better than a white person. The superiority is by taqwa. The best of you in the sight of Allah is based on taqwa and actions. And know that every Muslim is a brother to every other Muslim, and that the Muslims are one ummah, one brotherhood. We are one society. Before, Islam did not take away our color, or our family, or our culture. That remains. And our tribal names remains. You stayed Khazraji, Arabi, South African. You keep your nationalities. But above all that, Islam, Muslim. That's your first title. And we said, so how did the Ansar take this? This is a big deal. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, oh Ansari, this Muhajir, this poor person, is your family, is now your brother. You need to look after him. How you look after him, up to you. How did the Ansar respond to this? A big deal. Imagine someone knocks on your door, the Imam knocks on your door. I won't do this, but the Imam knocks on your door. I said, this brother from Palestine or Somalia or some of the countries going through great difficulty, may Allah make easy for all those going through difficulty. His brother and his family have no place to live. You are inshallah in charge of this family. You must give him a place to live. You must feed his family. You must find a job for him. And even if you pass away, he will inherit from you above your children. Right? Like your children here, he will inherit. How did the Ansar accept this? How would we accept this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us and them, those, who is it that will lend? Allah asks them, who will lend to Allah a goodly loan? You're not giving the Muhajir the loan. You're giving Allah. Subhanallah, look at the way Allah says it. Who will give me a loan? Who will give Allah a goodly loan? So that I may take it. And I may invest it and multiply it for you many times over. I'll give it back to you with interest. Allah is the only one that works with interest. He gives you back interest. It's okay for Allah. And it is Allah that decreases and increases. And unto Him you shall return. Remember, profit and loss comes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So give me that loan. How did the Ansar accept this? Subhanallah. The Ansar took to this like never ever before. They told the Muhajirin, come ya Muhajirin. My house has two stories. You choose. You want the top floor, the bottom floor. My wealth, this is all my wealth, you see, you take which half you want. Some, like the brother of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he said, I have two wives, 50-50, which one do you want? You choose which one you want. This was the extent of the Ansar, that the Muhajirin started to complain. The people of Makkah said, Ya Rasulullah, we have never seen a people like this before. And we are afraid that by the time we get to Qiyamah, they would have taken all the good deeds. They are so good, and they're giving so much, that there's nothing left for us. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, don't worry, there's good for you, there's good for them. The Ansar wanted to give everything they had, 50-50, to the Muhajirin. They didn't know these people. They didn't know who they were. They said, you're a Muslim, alhamdulillah, you have no place to stay. 50 for you, 50 for me. How did the Muhajirin respond? Like Abdurrahman ibn Auf. He was one of the wealthiest men in Makkah, one of the best businessmen. He comes to Makkah, Medina with nothing. He lost his business, his property. His brother says, yeah, take, as I said, even take one of my wives if you want. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiallahu, one of the 10 Ashra Mubashara, says, Barakallahu fiqh, may Allah bless you and your wife and your family. I only have one question for you. Show me where the market is. I'm a businessman. I will try myself. After a few weeks and months, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees Abdurrahman ibn Auf with some perfume in his hair. And Nabi says, what is this? Abdurrahman says, alhamdulillah, I've traded and bought and sold. I've earned some money. And now I've married one of the Ansari women, a Medina wife. Alhamdulillah, I'm okay. No need for me to burden my Muslim brother from Medina. To show you also the wisdom of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Ansari people came to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, you know, we are farmers. And this again, applicable today, where we talk about land distribution. They said, Ya Rasulullah Sallam, allow us to split our farms in half and give the Muhajirin half of our property. What do you think Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say? Yes, good, give them half. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, you keep your farms. Why? Our Muhajirin people don't know how to work on the farms. If they take it, they're going to spoil it. They're not going to know how to operate the land, and it's going to be a loss for all of us. You remain in charge of the farm, but they will assist you in farming. The hard work, they will help you, and you will share in the profit. And when trade comes, the Muhajirin are specialists in buying and selling. There's where they will help you, and there's where the profit will be made. But let the one who knows how to operate the land, let him be in charge, but then let him share in the profit. Great wisdom of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then of course the attitude of the Muhajirin, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, right? The refugee comes to the country. He doesn't say, I'm only here for a short period. When I get my wealth, I'm going to leave. No, he now works. And as Muslims in a minority country, this is the attitude we should take. That this is our new home. What we do, we should benefit our ummah, yes, but benefit the society as a whole. Sayyidina Uthman, one of the problems now, that water is in short supply, and the Jews had some of the wells of Medina. So there was a Jewish man, now the demand is high, what did he do? Put the price up. Everyone is struggling to buy water. Sayyidina Uthman was a wealthy man in Makkah, and he was a wealthy man in Medina. Some kept their wealth. So Sayyidina Uthman comes to the Jewish man and says, I will buy your wealth, your well. The man asked a huge price. Uthman radiallahu couldn't afford this price. So he said, let me buy half your wealth. How do you buy half a well? Right? He says, okay, fine, I'll sell half my well. One day you can take the water, one day I take the water. That's how you sell half a well. So Sayyidina Uthman said, no problem. He paid the huge price for half the well. And then Sayyidina Uthman did a brilliant thing. He said, oh, everyone who wants water, you can get from me for free. So no one is going to buy in the day when the Jewish man, it's his turn for the well. No one came to buy it. So he found there's a loss in my well. There's no benefit to my well. So Sayyidina Uthman comes back to him and says, okay, your well is making a loss. I'll buy this other half of the well for you for a good price. Alhamdulillah, he bought the entire well. And it's still today that well is there in Medina, providing water for the farms around it. Allahu Akbar. Right? And Uthman didn't expect how great this wealth would be. So this is how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam set the tone. And the Muhajirin and Ansar took it to heart. And within, as I said, a year or two, Nabi Sallam abolished the law of Mu'akha. No longer is this specific brotherhood applicable. Now the Muhajirin are on their feet. We don't burden the Ansari people anymore. You shouldn't burden the rich continuously. You should try, and this is the message to the poor. You have a responsibility to raise yourself up. Yes, you need that helping hand. But once you've given the assistance, it's your duty now to take care of yourself and your family. You only have your opportunities will come, right? But don't forever, ever be a burden on the state and the wealthy people. The next step, we said, how did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how did he deal with the Jews in Medina? How did he deal with his enemies internally? He said, let us have an agreement. We all get together. We have now one city. We're not going to fight and kill one another. Which law is going to be applied? You want your way, we want our way. Let us agree mutually. So we formed a constitution. And summary, there's a long, long constitution of the points that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Jews agreed on. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the believers and the Jews, when it comes to Medina, are one community. They will defend Medina together. They won't fight one another. We as Muslims will never ever assist an enemy against you. And you, O Jews, don't do the same. We don't support your enemies, you don't support our enemies. That the Jews, you will have the same rights as the Muslims. You won't be harmed. If any Muslim harms you, we will take action against the Muslim. And any Jew harms us, and he was wrong, we take action against the Jew. In this constitution, this is Rasulullah, it's written down that for the Jews, your religion applies. You practice your religion, and we practice our religion. But if a dispute comes between the two, it involves a Muslim and a Jew, then the ultimate authority, which is Rasulullah, will decree on the matter. But the day-to-day allowances, practice your religion as you want. Your synagogues, your rabbis, none of these things will be touched or harmed. And anyone, we said, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that this Medina is fair and open and safe for everyone to practice his religion as he feels fit. That is why you still had Jews in Medina. That's why you still had disbelievers, non-Muslims in Medina. Had Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taken the position, all of you are kuffar, we're going to kill you now, alhamdulillah, and we're going to have a pure Islamic state, they wouldn't have remained. But they stayed there to show you, this is how Islam operates with minority groups. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam led by example. And this is one of the successes of Medina, is we look at the leadership. And we make dua that Allah blesses us with good leaders. This is what we need, good leaders. Before we can have a khilafat, right, a caliphate or a state, we need a proper khalifa. We need a proper representative of the people, right? If you achieve the qualities, inshallah, we need a leader. This is one of our big problems as an ummah today, we have no leader, right? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what better leader than him? And he showed, and he gave an example of this. This is a classes system, right? There's a system in the time of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam where the rich and the powerful people, the laws didn't apply to them as it applied to the weak ones and the poor ones. And one of the wealthy women stole, right? She stole something. And they tried to, how can you cut off the hand? She's the family of so-and-so. Big problem. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hears this and he tells the people, you know what destroyed the nations before you? What destroyed the nations before you was injustice, inequality, where you oppressed, where you practice the law on the weak man. But the rich man and the powerful man, then you are relaxed and lenient. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, wallahi, if my daughter Fatima stole, I would cut her hand off. That even I and my family are subject to the law. No one is above the law. Today again, our time, we find our leaders above the law in what they do and how they spend and corruption. They can't come before. What they do, it's okay. They are above the law. This is why states don't move forward. This is the example of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But then more importantly, and this is for us today, what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did, and he did brilliantly, he taught us that if you can't establish an Islamic state in your country, then at least make your home an Islamic state. And even if you can't make your home an Islamic state, let your heart live that Islamic state. And he made a point to say that I, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I can't create an Islamic state on my own, but together we can do it. And each one of you have a role to play. This is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He couldn't build it on his own, but it's an ummah. Everyone, it's a team effort. If all of us contribute a little bit, we'll find the success. So he set down policies and principles, made a hadith and ayat were revealed, which encourages the believer individually make the change, individually support the cause, and then you will see the cause will be fixed on its own. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says these powerful words and applies today to all of us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, all of you are leaders. All of you, you don't have to look at what the president is doing or what the government is doing or what the imam is doing or the boss of the company. All of you, when there's a problem, you are all responsible, right? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, all of you are shepherds and each one of you is responsible for his flock. An imam, a leader, is a shepherd and he's responsible for those in his care. A husband is responsible for his children and his household. The wife is responsible for her husband's property and her children and those in care. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, even the slave. The master says, you know, my employee, this job, you in charge of it. I'm not going to watch you the whole day and whole night, but you in charge, you look after my wealth when I'm not there. He's responsible for that. So each and every one of us, we look at our society falling apart. But if every man took care of his responsibility, every man took care of his wife, you wouldn't find wives that are coming and complaining. Every wife took care of her husband, you won't find husbands coming and complaining. Every parent took care of their children, you won't find children on the street. This is the message Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given you. There's no need then for us to have strong implementation of laws when each and every one of you takes care of his flock. So today, this applies to us. You don't need to have an Islamic state, but the Islamic state is with you. You will make that change. The next thing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, reminds you that you are part of one ummah, one community, which means what? Yes, you need to look after your flock and your sheep. But the man's sheep next door, if his sheep comes over into your garden, that one's sheep gets a bit lost, remember he's your brother. Then you need to give him an assisting hand. If you're a good shepherd and you've got your flock in order, remember the responsibility goes on now to your neighbors and your society. So each and every one of us, when we sit at night and we think of our worries and our concerns, we're concerned about our bank balance and our family and our children and our household. Have we started to think about communal issues like who's running the masjid? Who's running? I see youngsters on the street don't look up to much good. Whose responsibility is it to go and see that things are okay? I see someone is poor, someone doesn't have a job. I hear on, you know, in our local news, you find maybe a problem happening. Who must stand up and make a change? I take it upon yourself. I'm also responsible for our community. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the believers in their mutual love and mercy and compassion to one another, they are like one body. When one part of the body is wounded, the entire body feels the pain. So when the one household in the street has a problem, one household is burglared, the entire street must wake up and say, we have a group problem here. It could have been my house. Just because it's your house, but tomorrow it could be my house. We need to work together. This is how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam inspired them. And then of course Allah confirmed this by saying, give of yourself, O believers, give of yourself. Don't worry about the balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this beautiful example in Surah Al-Baqarah. The example of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah is like a seed, the seed that you plant, which grows into seven stalks. And in each stalk is 100 seeds. You planted that one seed, you said, ya Allah, I give you this 1 rand. Allah says, I give you 700 rand in return. 700% return. No investment can meet this. No business, no company will give you a better return than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he promises you this in the dunya and in the akhirah. So he's advising it's in your interest. The next step that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed and taught us that we are part of this nation is that each and every one of you, when you see an evil, when you see a problem, don't just walk past it. Take it upon yourself. This is my responsibility to fix. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, whoever sees something evil, he changes it with his hand. When you see poverty in the streets, you see crime on the streets, you see Islam being insulted, a woman being abused, children having no parents, someone going hungry, a problem, an evil. Islam doesn't want these things. Take it, I must change it with my hand. I need to play a role. But if you can't do it, no problem, then speak out against, at least voice your concern in the meeting. At least come and say, I'm not happy about this. This is wrong what you did. And if you still can't even do that, at least let those people be in your du'as. So at least each and every one of us, daily, we try to do this at least. All the oppressed people in the dunya, Muslim and non-Muslim, all the bad things we see in our society, we make du'a for them and the ill and everyone. At least do that, because at least there's some little bit of iman left. The last point, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, and this is something that we take to heart. When we look at all these problems that's happening in societies, in our country, AIDS, and I said all the list goes on, drugs and crime and all that. How do we change this? As we said, number one, we take this upon ourselves. We need to play a role in fixing these problems. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam now taught you the steps. The best man is the man that goes out and actively says, look, there's a problem here in the masjid. You can take my time, my wealth. I'm going to play a role in fixing it. What's the next step? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a sahabi comes, Abu Dhar, comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said, I asked the Messenger of Allah, which of the deeds is best? What is the best thing I can do? And the Messenger replied, to believe in Allah and jihad in his cause. So you believe and then you act on that thing. You believe, you sort yourself out, and then you tackle the problems in the world. Jihad doesn't mean you go and kill everyone. No, it means that you go and fix the problems with your own hands, your own sweat and blood. You go and fix the problems. He then said, I again asked, what next? The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, then to free a slave. That's the next best thing. To help someone in need. If you can't make the change yourself, then help someone in need. And he said, who is a value, and not just any slave, but someone who is valuable to his master and is of high price. So you free the slave that is best to you. So now Abu Dhar says, okay, I can't myself go out and make jihad. So we say, Ya Rasul, I can't go out myself and deal with crime and deal with drugs and deal with abuse and all these things. I can't physically do it. Well, what can I do next? What is the next best thing for me to do? The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, then help an artisan or make anything for the laborer. So help the person who is out there doing the work. So now you find organizations that are out there in Gaza. You find the organization who's out there feeding the poor. So you can't join the organization. You don't have time. You don't have the energy. But you see the man, he's going out there. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, at least help that man. Now you go and make the effort and say, look, brother, you are running the masjid. You're part of the committee. I don't have time for meetings. But all I can do is here's a 500 rand, whatever. You do the work. And you can rely on me to do 5-6 things. But beyond that, inshallah, I support you. Then at least support the man that is doing the work. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, what if I'm unable to even do that? I can't even help those who are doing the good deed. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, then at least you must stop the mischief that you're doing. Don't you add to the problem. So you, for example, can't fix, we can't fix women being abused. You can't go out and help those women. Okay, you can't help the organization and help those the organizations that help those women. Then at the very least, don't you harm your women and you add to the problem. At the very least, then ask yourself, am I then making the problem worse? The very least you can do is, and this Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a charity. When you make sure that your harm doesn't affect the brother, this is your charity. And this will be enough for us, inshallah. So, inshallah, with these words, and we continue with the Islamic State, but for us, in our times of today, we look at all the problems in our society. We see how we can fix it. If we can't fix it, we see how we can help those who are fixing it. And if we can't help them, then at least ask ourselves the question, am I contributing to the problem? Am I making the situation worse? If I'm making it worse, then the biggest charity I can give is to not make it worse, to stop my evils. Inshallah, we continue next week with a discussion on the Islamic State and how Islam built the state from scratch, inshallah. Just a short announcement that, alhamdulillah, our Seerah class is up and running. We started last week. We've moved the class. The slide is incorrect. We moved the class to after Maghrib on a Tuesday. This is the most convenient time for everybody. After Maghrib on Tuesday, inshallah, our Seerah class, the life of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We'll ask, inshallah, all of us to attend, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alayhi wa sallam.
Shukran, Sheikh. Just one announcement. There will be Khatam al-Quran, the Masajid of the Buka. We'll have the monthly Khatam al-Quran. That's on Saturday, tomorrow. Just take note, the time will be after Asr, 4:15, and not as after Maghrib as usual. So tomorrow afternoon, Ba'd al-Asr, Khatam al-Quran at the Palm Street Mosque in Long Street. All of you are welcome. There's facilities for the ladies as well. And just a reminder that our AGM will be on the 10th of September. All those who are interested, please make yourself available. It will be on a Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock on the 10th of September, our AGM. Shukran. Can the brothers please move forward, please? Just fill the gaps and just stand as close as possible to one another. There's some more space at upstairs as well.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
على الصلاة
إن الحمد لله نحمدك ربي ونستعينك ونستغفرك ونتوب إليك ونثني عليك خير كله، نشكرك ولا نكفرك، ونخلع ونترك من يفجرك. اللهم إياك نعبد ولك نصلي ونسجد، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله هاديا وبشيرا وداعيا بإذن الله وسراجا منيرا، فصلوات الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، يا عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله. وقال جل جلاله: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال تعالى: إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب، فاستغفروا إنه الغفور الرحيم.
اللهم صل وسلم وزد وجمع وتفضل وبارك بجلالك وكمالك على زين بالك وسبع بالك سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وصحبه وسلم وسلم ورضي الله تبارك وتعالى عن كل صحابة أجمعين.
الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، يا عباد الله، اتقوا الله واتقوا يوما ترجعون فيه إلى الله، واعلموا أن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ألا وصلوا وسلموا على خير الورى والنبي المصطفى والحبيب المرتضى، كما أمر الله تعالى، فقال جل جلاله: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وصحبه وبارك وسلم. اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأذل الشرك والمشركين، ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في غزة وفلسطين وسوريا وإيراك وأفغانستان وفي كل مكان يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم اشفي مرضانا، اللهم اشفي مرضانا، اللهم اشفي مرضانا وارحم موتانا. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم، وسلام المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تبارك الذي جعل في السماء بروجا وجعل فيها سراجا وقمرا منيرا وهو الذي جعل الليل والنهار خلفة لمن أراد أن يذكر أو أراد شكورا وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما والذين يقولون ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما أولئك يجزون الغرفة بما صبروا ويلقون قون فيها تحية وسلاما خالدين فيها حسنت مستقرا ومقاما قل ما يعبأ بكم ربي لولا دعاؤكم فقد كذبتم فسوف يكون لزاما الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah al-aliyyul azim, at-tawwabur rahim, alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, natubu ilayka wa nas'aluka tawbatan wa maghfiratan wa at-tawwabur rahim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allahumma antas salam wa minkas salam, fahayyina rabbana bis-salam wa adkhilna al-jannata ad-daral salam. Tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayta ya dhal jalal wal ikram. Sami'na
rabbana wa ilayka al-masr. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا لنقيم صلاتنا ومن ذرياتنا ربنا وتقبل دعاءنا ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وارحمهم كما ربيانا صغيرا اللهم أنزل النور في ظلمات القبور اللهم أنزل الرحمة على أهل القبور من المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات ارفع لهم الدرجات وكفر عنهم السيئات يا رب العالمين اللهم اشفي مرضانا اللهم اشفي مرضانا وارحم موتانا يا رب العالمين اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد وقرة عين لا تنقطع ومرافقة نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.